The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
James moves to center, veers to his right, makes the move, gets by Misa, cuts into the zone, turns away from Liljegren in the right corner, slides it back, Eldon McKinnon, now to Nichushkin on the right wing half-boards, back here, Manson, shot, score! So Nichushkin gets it back to Manson, and Josh Manson gets his fifth goal of the year to make it 3-2 Colorado. 12 minutes and 44 seconds gone by in the third period.
Look, it's a really good team that plays at a certain pace, especially in this building. But a little bit of it is we play in this, we grip it, and we play in fear in a sense. I thought we loosened up in the third period, and we got going, and we started skating, and we played freer. And, you know, when you're in a rut like we're in, you tend to really lean on you're not making a mistake to cost your team. And I think individuals didn't want to make a mistake, so that next thing you know, you're not making the right play. So I think that was what happened the first two periods. But, you know, I give our group a lot of credit. The third period, we kind of got back to what we've done majority of the year, is get on teams with our skating and didn't quit. So I give the group a lot of credit to getting back into it in the third.
When you're in a rut like this, is a break like this actually good then?
The break couldn't come at a better time for us.
All right, what's happening, everyone? Good morning. Welcome to Morning Tide. You are on Thursday, February 5th. The San Jose Sharks are currently at fifth place in the wild card rankings in the West. They have 58 points on the season. They are one game beneath true 500, 27 wins, 28 losses, but over hockey 500 at a record of 27, 24, and 4. They have 58 points. They are currently 5 points back of the final wild card spot in the West. They do have a game in hand on the team in front of them in Nashville. They've got a game in hand on Anaheim, two games in hand on Utah. And then when we look at the Pacific Division, the Sharks are 5 points back of Seattle with 53 points, 6 points back of Edmonton with 64 points, and 8 points back of Vegas, who have 66 points. But the Sharks have one game in hand on Seattle, three games in hand on Edmonton, and a game in hand on Vegas. So the San Jose Sharks have the ability to catch up those points. And I think that if I had told you back at the start of the year when they had just suffered a brutal loss to Vegas that the San Jose Sharks would be 5 points out of a playoff spot when we got to the Olympic break, you would have been ecstatic. And if I told you that the only way they'd be 5 points out was due to a four-game losing streak in the midst of an extremely difficult circumstance, yeah, you would have been okay with that. And we have to look big picture on what the San Jose Sharks have had to go through in the last little bit of history. I think that's very, very important to take into account. In the last 10 games, they have essentially played in 10 different buildings. They've been home for one game. We look at a win at Washington, a loss to Detroit, a win at Florida, a loss to Tampa, a win against New York. That's your one home game. Then you win at Vancouver. Then you lose in overtime to Edmonton. You lose to Calgary on the road. You lose to Chicago. And then you lose to finish up that 10 different buildings and 10 different games stretch of a 4-2 loss to Colorado. So big picture, we have to look at that and say, okay, the San Jose Sharks, through extremely difficult circumstances, actually, in my opinion, performed pretty darn well. And I think that's what I'm going to be looking at. You got the four wins in that stretch, and you also got an overtime loss. So technically, you're getting 500 on the point side of things for the San Jose Sharks at what I would say is the most difficult stretch of their season. They passed it, not with flying colors, but they passed it. They did what they needed to do. And I think that the fact that they finished up this stretch with their most difficult opponent by going up against Colorado and played what I thought was a pretty darn good game, or at least a good finish, I thought that was indicative of where this team wants to be. And I think that you go back to that loss against Edmonton, when it's combined with an illness going around the team and the most difficult stretch of scheduling, the team was dealing with illness. That was a factor. They're not going to talk about it as much as they probably should, but it seemed to have played a role. They also lost an emotional leader in Ryan Reeves due to injury. You've been just dealing with a punishing schedule overall. Like I said, that, you know, the majority of those games, 9 out of 10, were on the road. And when you were at home, it was for what, one game? That's just a home game, but is part of an overall larger trip. It's an incredible job by San Jose. And again, the expectations have shifted because they have overperformed and they have played at such a high level. So we're all going to look at this. We're going to take it. And we're going to appreciate what San Jose has done. The hardest part for me is the fact that we have to go until the 26th of February until we get to see this story continued. Granted, we'll have the Olympics in the interim. It's going to be, what I've been telling people, one of the great all-time international competitions in the history of modern sports. This is going to be just all-star game after all-star game after all-star game. But this is going to be really, really fun. And I think that when we get back on the other side, I'm really curious to see what San Jose does and how they're shot out of the gate, because they come back at home against Calgary, a game I feel they should win. Then they have Edmonton. That's a very difficult game. Then they have Winnipeg. Then they have Montreal. Then they have St. Louis. And then they have the Islanders. But they come back with 6 straight at home, and then they go on the road for 5 again. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy, guys. But the teams that San Jose is playing for the rest of the year, they've got one of the quote-unquote easier schedules, even if I don't believe in such thing when we talk about the NHL. But they have the ability to get themselves right back into the playoff picture, of which they're 5 points out right now. I don't think they are quote-unquote out of it, but I think this is the way that we should be framing it, is that, you know, they are in the conversation and they can thrust themselves right back into the issue, and the rest will come at a very good time. I know you're going to say, well, Ted, their most important player, Macklin Celebrini, is going to be going through, the Olympic competition. He's not going to have as much time to rest. Yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, I don't think he will be quite as heavily leaned upon as he is by the San Jose Sharks. That's just a guess. I could very much be wrong. And I think that he will also be having so much fun. And I think he is young and has so much energy that I don't think it really matters. I think if anything, this will allow his teammates around him to put more onus on their own shoulders, take a little bit of pressure off of him when they come back, so that Macklin will be able to do more of the things we're accustomed to him doing. And I would not be surprised if there's more Macklin magic when we get back on the other side of the Olympic break. But the San Jose Sharks, again, if we had told you that this would be the narrative 55 games into the year, everyone's ecstatic. It's only relatively disappointing because they've been performing at not their best level as of late. And that's, I am okay with that, in the sense that we were hoping they would get anywhere close to 30 wins. This team is already at 27 wins with 27 games left to play. That's a huge accomplishment. The standard has risen. The overall goal has changed. Playoffs entered the conversation by the time we were in the month of November. And that's a good thing to happen. Disappointment is a good thing for a team that's trying to make its way out of a rebuild. We are, I don't think, firmly on the other side of that rebuild, but I think we've learned a lot of what we wanted to learn this year. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, that was not just a rookie phenom situation. The league still doesn't know what to do with the two of those guys in particular. Macklin Celebrini has quickly elevated himself into having one of the most dangerous games in the NHL, and many would consider him one of the top 5 players in the league. And I think if you don't, that's surprising, but we will look at what he continues to develop with. Michael Misa, we had a lot of questions about him, especially the way that he didn't get a lot of consistency before he went off to World Juniors. Well, he's been back and he's been making himself more and more of a player. And I think if that break did him that much good, where he had not played as many games with consistency, he played the World Juniors with consistency. He played now the NHL with consistency. Now he's got a break to let his body regroup and regather. He's going to come back with a big, big emphasis on his aggression and his play. And I think it's that much more exciting. I think we talk about Sam Dickinson. Sam Dickinson, ups and downs earlier. We didn't get to see him play last night, but overall his game has been trending in the right direction. Even if he didn't play a perfect game in his most recent performance against Chicago, I do think that more and more of what we're seeing from him has been trending in the right direction. Yaroslav Askarov, he had some poor performances as of late. If you listen to my edition of the Build-Up yesterday. I talked at length about his numbers, and I think that one of the most damning things for him, and I say that relatively speaking because he's not on the hook for everything, and I think that the Sharks defense has definitely not stepped up to the moment in many games in which he's been starting, but he has not given up fewer than three goals but one time since the start of December. Obviously, the month of November, he had one of the most remarkable stretches from a Sharks goalie we've ever seen, you know, near 950 save percentage. That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen very often. But I do think that he showed us again last night what his ceiling is, and I think we need to remember that he is still learning things in the NHL, but Yaroslav Askarov needs to find that game consistently. Now, again, the defense in front of him needs to be better, but Yaroslav Askarov, in showing what his ceiling is in the month of November and showing what his ceiling is the way he played last night when he was getting absolutely peppered with shots, you know, the first two goals, I don't think there's much that he can do. He made so many incredible saves early on. The third one was screened. He did his job. The defense in front of him has been the issue. And I think that when we talk about the review of the Sharks up to this point of the season, the main issue has been the decor. And I think that's where the Sharks need to find the most improvement. And I actually cite what the Sharks were able to do a year ago during the Four Nations break, is they were able to make their defense significantly better in terms of their system and structure as a team. And so that tells me that Ryan Warsawski, if given a little bit of time, he'll be able to make those adjustments. He'll be able to make the tactical changes, figure out the X's and O's and how they best relate to the Jims and the Joes. It's not that I am, you know, always going to say that the system is everything, but the good coaches in this league, the best coaches in this league, are able to look at what their team is doing, put guys in a better position to play at a higher level, and go from there. And I do believe Ryan Warsawski is 100% capable of doing that. I think he's one of the bright young minds in the NHL in terms of what he's capable of. The schedule, the lack of practice, the Sharks traveling, that's all the reasons why maybe there are not as many adjustments on the fly, game to game, as maybe we would like to see. But Ryan Warsawski, I think now with this time, he'll be able to maximize, do the most with it, and give himself a chance to get his team through these final 27 games, you know, a big opportunity to push themselves into the playoffs. And, you know, that's all part of the excitement up to this point of the year. And, you know, I look at last night's game, and the way that the Sharks started off slowly, I know they're tired. It's the end of a very, very punishing schedule. But the Sharks started off, you know, just being on their heels because that's what Colorado does. And Colorado was peppering the net. And the best part about that is that Yaroslav Askarov was able to stand up to it. He was able to make the big saves early on. He was able to come up with the stops that you needed to keep you in it as a team. And I think it's indicative of what probably Yaroslav Askarov needs to get past as a goalie, because some goalies do need to make those stops early on. They need to get really engaged early on. They can't be, you know, kind of floating away from the play. And so I think that when he's forced to make those big saves early on, it really, really locks him in. And I think he was locked in from the get-go because, what was it, the first shift? Colorado makes it look like they're on a power play because they're so talented, and suddenly Yaroslav Askarov is fighting for his life, but he is fighting it off. That's the thing that we have to come back to, knowing that his talent level is so high that he can fight off those opportunities. He can give the Sharks a chance. And then suddenly he was locked in and nothing was getting by him. I mean, I really, really took a lot of appreciation and gave him a lot of credit for keeping the Sharks in that game early on. You know what? I think they had 15 shots in the first period, and then they had 17 shots in the second period. And yes, they had scored up to that point, but that's not because of Yaroslav Askarov's lack of effort. That's him keeping San Jose in the game consistently throughout the most important parts of the game. And that, to me, is absolutely huge. It's massive. It tells you what he can do. It tells you how he can impact a game. I think the key for San Jose is to make sure that they can get him locked in like that for every game. I know he's not going to be perfect. Nobody is, but the talent is there. The ability is there. It's a matter of being able to make that guy show up every single game. And then again, the defense in front of him. Even though early on the defense in front was not great, the Sharks were having so much trouble getting it clear all throughout the first period. They had so many icings. They had tired legs in front of Askarov. He still comes up with the big plays, but you know, figuring out the team defense, figuring out how they're going to best situate themselves throughout the remainder of the season, that's priority number one. The forward grouping has been great. Their offense has been pretty darn good. It's the defense, the decor specifically, and then beyond that, going to the forwards and the team defense. That's what the team needs to figure out. That's the biggest issue right now. And I think if the Sharks do figure that out, they'll be able to make a very strong push into the playoff picture as we get deeper and deeper into this 2026 half of the season and the other side of the Olympic break. Before we get to these highlights, though, I will note how important it was for San Jose to get into the game last night and play with a pride a prideful loss, if you want to call it. And they could have just let that game get away, but they showed the fight that they've shown all year long. They fought their way back into the game. They came up with some big plays. They're down 2-0 on the road at elevation against the best team in the league, and they fight their way back into the game. They push Colorado. They got back to Sharks hockey that we are accustomed to. And having that performance right before the break told me a lot about this team, and it should probably tell you a lot as well, because there is a level of pride. They are not going to let things slip away. They know they have not been performing at their best level. Kiefer Sherwood in his first game with San Jose, he looked like he was ready to bleed for the teal, right? I mean, that was a performance that I appreciated because he was playing hard. He was playing tough. He seemed to be upset with the loss. He was engaged. He's bought in on everything the Sharks are about right now. Watching him make that debut, in my opinion, was very, very big. I liked him on that top line with Macklin and Will. I think it was important to have those guys together. I think that Colorado's very good in the O-zone. The Sharks' time was limited, but I think that when they did have their opportunities, especially as they forced their way back into the game, you could see Kiefer Sherwood doing a lot of the things that you hope to get from him, putting some hits out there, winning some puck battles, taking advantage of situations, developing that chemistry. We'll see what the line looks like on the other side of the Olympic break, but Kiefer Sherwood looks like he's here and ready to go with San Jose. You know, the way they had Misa and Eklund back together, I really, really like that. I think that when you looked at the defensive pairings, I think still you saw some limitations of what the Sharks are dealing with. But again, you're excited for what comes next. You're excited for what San Jose is going to be able to do on the other side of the Olympic break. And that's what I keep on coming back to, is that San Jose, I can't believe we have to wait this long for the next game for San Jose. Granted, great Olympic hockey in front of us. I don't want to wait for the next Sharks game and these final 27 games, because we haven't been able to be this excited for a February, March, and April for a long time. So we'll get there, guys. We will get there together. All right, let us get into the highlights from last night's game, as Yaroslav Askarov, right off the bat, was put to work making huge stops for San Jose.
Rebound on the point, now kept in by Taves. This Avalanche lineup is really something else. And Askarov coming out to take a little stroll. That looked a little dangerous, but Mario Ferraro got in the way of the puck in time and knocked it aside before Askarov had to play it. In front, McKinnon, point-blank chance. What a great save by Askarov. As the puck came through a seam, McKinnon was wide open, and he drilled it. But Askarov made an astounding stop to keep the score 0-0.
And he kept on coming up with those astounding stops. Yaroslav Askarov absolutely locked in early.
Here comes McKinnon down the left wing side into the Shark zone. He backhands to his right, up to the point, gets a return feed top of the left wing circle on Makar. Got by Graf, stick handle, shoots through a screen, save made. What a kick stop! Another great stop by Askarov! He stopped the first one with his body against McKinnon, then stopped Lekkinen on the rebound with 7:11 to go in the period.
Again, Askarov shows us his ability. We all want to see that consistently. The ceiling, we know what it is. It's the game-in, game-out performance that we need to see from Yaroslav Askarov. But I'll give you this reason to be hopeful, guys. He hasn't even played 50 games in the NHL. 2022, one game. 2023, one game. Last year, 12 games with San Jose. This year, 35. Think about how much we've seen in growth from Askarov and what he can be in the near future. I think everyone has big reason to be excited. Getting back to the highlights of this game, it was Colorado who struck first in this one. Just a minute into the second, Arturi Lehkonen with his 18th of the year.
A bouncing puck goes into the left corner of the San Jose zone. And Wennberg, very responsibly in front of his net, stopped the centering pass, but he gets body checked off the puck by Nichushkin. McKinnon cross ice, Makar the shot, tipped on goal, save, made another great stop. Rebound in front of the net, loose puck. Where is it? It's in. They score. There were four players inside the goalie crease. Askarov made the stop. Then the puck bounced free. It was behind him. Both Klingberg and Orlov trying to keep it out of the net. And Arturi Lehkonen, so strong, net front, looks like he's going to get credit for the goal. 1-0 Colorado.
Shortly thereafter, once again off a turnover as William Eklund loses the puck. Lehkonen, with about 4 minutes left in the second period, makes it 2-0 in favor of the Avs.
Here's Orlov leading it up the middle. And unfortunately, Eklund making the move inside the zone, lost it. 3-on-1 developing here. Eklund getting back to make it 3-on-2. It's fed to the front of the net. McKinnon took it, turns, shoot, score! Lehkonen gets the pass from McKinnon on a 3-on-1 break that it looked like the Sharks had stopped. Eklund tried to get back in time to make it a 3-on-2. The first opportunity did not go in, but circling
McKinnon on the left circle, fed it across the ice, and right there was Arturi Lehkonen to get his second goal of the game and of the period, his 19th of the season, to make it 2-0 Colorado.
Hey, and at this point, we've got a non-goal for San Jose when they're down 2-0, so that's fun.
Goodrow shot right on. Save made. Ostapchuk on the rebound, had his stick tied up there by Taves. Now Ostapchuk gets it on the right board, centers in front, tipped on goal. That's a big save by Blackwood, and he'll cover up.
I didn't love the officiating last night, guys. I'm not going to be the guy who goes out there and tells you that it's always going to be about the officiating or anything like that. I just get a little bit frustrated when the calls turn out to be a non-goal, and then you get a slashing call where they say the stick was broken before the play was made and stuff like that. I get a little frustrated. It's not why the Sharks lost. It just certainly didn't help them win the game. But the Sharks would get themselves back into this game down 2-0 in the third period. Timothy Liljegren, just 43 seconds into the period. How sweet it is, assisted by Alexander Wenberg and John Klingberg, gets San Jose on the board.
Twisting and turning on the left wing boards, guns it back behind the Sharks net, but Orloff and Klingberg pick up. Klingberg's pass is onto the stick of Wenberg, and here he comes. Moving left to right, Wenberg stick handles across the line, pivots, turns to his right, across the line to the corner, back to the point, shot, score! Timothy Liljegren from the point, put it off a stick. Man in front was Kurashev setting up, and the Sharks are on the board, and they get that goal they desperately needed with Tim Liljegren firing the Wenberg pass toward the goal to make it 2-1.
Sharks weren't done yet. They kept on pushing as Olympian-to-be Philip Kurashev comes up with a great takeaway breakaway goal.
Kurashev just stole the puck away. He's breaking down the left wing, semi-breakaway. Kurashev waits, he shoots, he scores! Philip Kurashev just tied the game. He stole the puck away from the defense. He moved down the left wing on a semi-breakaway. He deked the puck and got it by Blackwood, and the Sharks have tied the game 2-2.
Love that San Jose makes an issue of this game, pushes themselves back into it, makes it 2-2, forces the issue, put Colorado on their heels. It's a lot to ask to try and beat Colorado in their own building at this point, but the Sharks were giving it everything they could. One last final emptying of the tank before they go into the break. Unfortunately, you would find an answer from Colorado. 12:44 of the third, Josh Manson makes it 3-2. Assisted by Nikushkin and McKinnon.
Devon Taves moves to center, veers to his right, makes the move, gets by Misa, cuts into the zone, turns away from Liljegren in the right corner, slides it back, held in McKinnon, now to Nikushkin on the right wing halfboards, back here, Manson, shot, score! So Nikushkin gets it back to Manson, and Josh Manson gets his fifth goal of the year. To make it 3-2 Colorado. 12 minutes and 44 seconds gone by in the third period.
And then the Sharks would keep fighting, couldn't find the answer, pull the goalie, but that just led to an empty netter for Colorado.
Ricocheted out of the zone, Klingberg calmly back to get it, sends it across the ice, Celebrini stops it, puts it off the right boards, the Sharks can't get it in, great defensive play by Celebrini, stopped it from McKinnon, but Nelson will get it back, empty net, score! Celebrini made a great defensive play on McKinnon, but the puck on the right wing side was loose, and Brock Nelson gets to it first and scores the empty netter to make it 4-2 Colorado.
4-2 is your final. Sharks go into the break with four straight losses, but again, this is a prideful, important type of loss. It's not like they got manhandled here. They made a game of it and showed why they are such a dangerous team for the future. Let's hear from Kiefer Sherwood and what he had to say after his first game as a San Jose Shark.
Yeah, better as the game went on. I thought we had a good third. You know, we got to come out there like the start of the game. You know, we have to be urgent and we got to be on our toes more. So, we'll take the third and move on and learn from it. Have a good break and we're gonna come ready for business second half.
What do you think that urgency maybe wasn't there the first couple of periods?
I don't know. Obviously we want to win. It's, you know, I think it's just about a little bit execution and playing hard and getting our mind ready. League's too unforgiving to not play full 60. So we'll take the lesson and move on and be ready to get our work boots on second half.
What was the message in the second intermission? You guys got a great start there in the second period. What was the conversation like in the locker room there?
Yeah, we gave ourselves a chance there, getting two goals, just playing the right way, supporting the puck, and executing play a little bit better with it when the yellows. The yellows are a big area for us moving forward, so we'll clean that up and be good.
Your Your physicality is well known. Just what was your goal the first couple shifts there? Was it to get a hit, get engaged? What were you thinking those first couple shifts there in your first game back here?
Yeah, I mean, I think every game you want to get in the game early, so you want to be on your toes and initiating and not defending and just getting in the forecheck and winning pucks back. So we got to do more of that. You know, I think we're a little disconnected for the game, but we'll get that sorted out and be ready.
Playing tonight, does this make you want to play again in a couple of days? You kind of wish you didn't have a 2-week break at this point here.
Yeah, I know. It's the other guy, you know, our team needs a break. Obviously, it comes at a good time. I know that was my first game, so obviously I wish we had more. So it's we'll light the fire during break, and then we'll come ready to rage in the second half.
Seemed like you got under a couple guys' skin there, Manson and Burns, on that forward check there. Was that just part of your game to try to get to that sheets?
Yeah, I mean, got to do more. Try to open up some space, you know, kind of the game within the game. If I can get the D to look over their shoulders early, then maybe you can get more pucks back on the forecheck and just, you know, recover more. So we'll keep building on that and just keep moving forward.
Tonight really kept you in there the first couple periods.
Yeah, I mean he battles, you know. We got to do a better job of the slot chances and the middle shots, you know. But he's a warrior. He'll continue to battle, and he's going to be big for us in the second half.
And third period, your line started more chances and that sort of thing. What was working in the third period for your line that you obviously want to bring over, you know, after the break?
Just getting the puck in those guys' hands, obviously, you know. Obviously, you got to set the game up and chip it sometimes, but when there's plays to be made, we got to make sure that we're getting them in their hands because they can make plays and, you know, they'll create magic, you know, from their plays. So we'll get it dialed in and be ready.
By the way, I got to highlight this quote from Kiefer Sherwood. The dude has been here for very short order, and he's coming up with bombs like this.
We'll light the fire during break, and then we'll come ready to rage in the second half.
Light the fire and come ready to rage. That sounds like something Bono would write in the 90s. What a line. Good Lord. Kiefer Sherwood dropping quote bombs after game number one with San Jose. I love this guy already. All right, let's hear a little bit from head coach Ryan Warsofsky before we run out of time.
Probably say a little bit of both. You know, just our puck play was atrocious. For those first two periods, we were giving them a lot by just on our heels, not making the right play with the puck. And then our gaps were off, and we were just, you know, kind of taking on water there for a bit.
Does that just go to the fact that that's the best team in the league, and maybe you guys are being a little bit cautious at times, or just trying not to make the wrong move, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think a little bit of, look, it's a really good team that plays at a certain pace, especially in this building. But a little bit of it is we play in this, we grip it, and we play in fear in a sense. I thought we loosened up in the third period, and we got going, and we started skating, and we played freer. And you know, when you're in a rut like we're in, you tend to really lean on you're not making a mistake to cost your team. And I think individuals didn't want to make a mistake, so that next thing you know, you're not making the right play. So I think that was what happened the first two periods. But you know, I give our group a lot of credit. The third period, we kind of got back to what we've done majority of the year, is get on teams with our skating and didn't quit. So I give the group a lot of credit to getting back into it in the third.
When you're in a rut like this, is a break like this actually good then?
Yeah, the break couldn't come at a better time for us.
For a young team, obviously you've got young, you know, vets and young here. What do you hope to see when they come back to practice after this break? Is it kind of a renewed energy or just kind of more focus?
I think both. We're going to need some energy. We're going to need some focus. You know, we're going to have a short training camp type of start to this, you know, last push of, what is it, 27 games or whatever it is, you know, and we're going to be in it, and we're going to push, and we're going to give everything we got. So we need every guy in there to be ready, focused, and energized for that.
How important is just details when you guys return here? I mean, the Ives game is a good, you know, you talk about the details, not skating. How important is it to focus on those details when you come back and the last stretch here of the season?
Yeah, it's critical. Details are really what cost you games. Little details usually too. So we got to clean up our structure. We got to clean up some details. We got to clean up how we need to play each and every single shift. I think we'll go right to work for it.
What got you guys going in the third period? Was it that first goal, or was it just being down and just like, hey, we have one period left, let's just, you know, put it all in the win kind of?
Yeah, I think the message was pretty clear. Let's just go play and stop worrying about mistakes. And we're a good hockey team. We got to get our confidence back, and obviously get a couple goals, and that helps. And we got going. And unfortunately, we just, you know, those are the ones you'd like to get a point in, you know, looking back. So again, we got to move on and pick up the pieces and get reset.
All right, we are out of time, but keep it tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all throughout the Olympic break. We will continue to coverage the team. We will be covering the Olympic play, what Macklin's up to, and more. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.